Let's turn in our Bibles this morning to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. More like the master, as we kind of break into Paul's exhortations and teachings. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father, we come to Thee. We thank You that we have this time that we can come. And come freely, Father. There is no fear of reprisals. There are no fears of the forces coming to take us away because we dare assemble. We thank You for those freedoms that we have in our country to worship You as we please. And Father, can do so freely. Father, as we have come, may our hearts and minds be open as believers, that You would help us to put aside the cares, the distractions, the things that so easily beset us that cause us to not hear, that cause us to not be yielded in Your presence to the working of the Holy Spirit in our hearts with Your word. But Father, truly that Your word would have free course. It'll arrive and do that which You desire to do to change us, to mold us into the image of the Lord, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray for that one that is lost. The Father knows not Christ as their Savior. May You be at work there, convicting, convincing, drawing them unto Thyself. And may they yield. May they see that indeed Christ died in their place for their sins. And may they, in faith, by grace, believe, trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. May they be wondrously born again before they leave this place this day. We thank You that it is Your work that is being accomplished and not ours. And we give You all the praise and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we consider this, I pulled from a hymn that we do not have in our hymnal. I realized that. I was looking for it and thought, oh, surely we have it. Look, no, okay, let's look up the author. I can do that in our hymnals in the back, and looked up all of Charles H. Gabriel's pieces, and no, we don't have this. And I thought, oh, goodness gracious. More like the master, I think some of the more modern hymnals, I've changed it to more like the Savior. I'm not sure why they changed that word, but they did. But more like the master is how I've known it since I started attending church. But I'll read his poem, if you will, the two verses of it, and then the chorus as Charles Gabriel. And he is from the 1800s, I think, into the early 1900s in his lifetime. But he notes, "More like the master I would ever be, more of His meekness, more humility, more zeal to labor, more courage to be true, more consecration for work He bids me do. More like the Master, I would live and grow, more of His love to others I would show, more self-denial like His in Galilee, more like the Master I long to ever be." And the chorus, "Take thou my heart, I would be thine alone. Take thou my heart and make it all thine own. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore." And as I mentioned, I think a little while back, it does us well to stop and read the words of our hymns. I know we sing them. And too often times, we can sing them without really listening to the words. We sing it because we know it, and we go about, oh, we may, you know, occasionally look down, make sure we're on the right spot in the right place. And we're singing it, but we're missing the words. We're not catching it. And so I would encourage you sometime, not necessarily to take all our hymnals and home, because if they're all home, then we can't have them here to sing with. And I would probably get in trouble with Sharla if all our hymnals were gone. We wouldn't have anything to work with. But, you know, take time while you're here. If you want to sneak one out, you know, bring it back the next Sunday. To look at the words and to stop and consider them, you know, apart from the music, because that is can be hard at times because we're working on singing it and we're saying these words, but to take the look, like, kind of like I just did, and read it, and then stop and consider those words. I realize it's not Scripture for the most part. Many of them are based on Scripture, and but to consider the words that the author has put down on paper that we sing and reflect. I'm saying these words, but like this one, do I mean it? Do I really desire to be more like the Master? Charles Gabriel is noting such. More like the Master I would ever be. More of his meekness. More humility. More self-denial, like his in Galilee. And I realize I'm breaking up the verses, but just noting these phrases and then stopping and think, can I honestly, truthfully, say this to God? Because that's who Gabriel is noting these words to. It's in essence, it's a prayer to God. God, I want to be more like the Master. And I'm asking you that I would have more humility, more self-denial. Take my heart. Purge me from sin. Wash me and keep me thine forevermore. And so I trust that we will take time to, you know, do that and look at those words. Nothing wrong with buying a hymnal. We don't have them for purchase, but, you know, the hymnal is easy enough to get online and purchase it and have it at home. Yeah, I realize in my library I have several hymnals that I have purchased through the years for that purpose, if you will, to have and to look at. But I trust that as we look at this and draw ourselves back to Philippians chapter 3, this is what Paul is pushing for in these verses. He's given a prize. He's given an example. He's noted himself as he's preaching to the Philippians in this passage. And so I want us to lay this down for us, as you will, because again, we have the first Sunday of 2026. A new year is before us. It is, I can tell I'm getting older. It's hard to believe that it's 2026. The year 2026. Now, many of us can look back to remember the year 1974. So, what's the significance of it? That's 26 years before 2000. As far removed from 2000 as we are now today. And I said, well, yeah, I remember 1974. I can tell you where I was. I was in school, yes. I was in North Carolina. And I had come to know Christ as my Savior that year. And to think as a child that I would see 2026 would have seemed almost foreign. Like, no, no, man, that's way off in the future. No, no, that could never be. And here we are. And it's like, what happened to those 52 years since that time in 1974 when we were 26 years from 2000 like we are now, and realize, wow, there's a lot God has done in those years. But we find ourselves here. We look at a year that we know not what lay ahead. We look back in wonder at what has transpired. I mean, always this time of year, we tend to do that. We look back. We look at what has been accomplished, what's happened in this past year. Sometimes the sins, the failures. We may remember back to if we're of that making New Year's resolution kind of mindset. We may realize, whoa. Yeah, those resolutions, they were kind of short-lived. Or maybe we were. And we saw those resolutions become habits in our lives. And we see the benefits, the blessings. And we rejoice. But like every year, there's always that mixed bag. There's some joy, there's some sorrow. And then we look to the future. And we look forward. What is the Lord going to do this year? What's awaiting us? As I mentioned on New Year's Eve, I didn't want to say anything beforehand, but it's like this was a year as a pastor, I didn't have a funeral last year. None of us went home to be with the Lord. What happens this coming year? I don't know. It's in the Lord's hands, as our lives always have been and always will be. But what does the future hold for us? Do we have those resolutions set before us? How are you doing so far since we're 4 days into the new year? We have those that try to predict what's the future. From a spiritual standpoint, we know far more of what the future holds for what God has laid out in His Word than many of those future events will be. We don't know when. As we noted with someone as we were walking in for the service, looking forward to an interruption this year. A shout, a trumpet, a nice divine interruption to our resolutions, to our life, to which I said, yeah, I would love to have that divine interruption this year. Love to be that generation that hears the trumpet, to hear the shout. And the dead in Christ raised, and we which are alive caught up together to be with the Lord in the air together forever. I'm kind of mangling those verses. But what a thought. Could it be this year? Yes. Could it have been last year when we were on the threshold of 2025? The answer would have been yes. Because we don't know the day or the hour when that will happen. But I trust we live in anticipation of it. But I would like to ask us, as this hymn notes, as God tarries and spares us, may we say that yes, indeed, we are more like the Master. Our boast, as we've noted, is in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the cross of Calvary. And it is God's desire and design that we are to be more like the Master. The progressive nature of our sanctification that God is doing in the heart and life of the believer is to make us more Christ-like, more like our Master. Because we will one day be in His presence, complete in Him. The work will have been finished, and we indeed will be like Him. But we are a work in progress in this life. It started at the new birth when we trusted Christ as our Savior. A new life in Christ was started. And God is maturing that new life day by day. Are we helping or are we hindering that new life progression? God wants us alongside Him moving forward in that regard. And that's what Paul is touching on here as he notes this. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I've not made it. I don't completely grasp and understand all that God is doing." Even though, I mean, we look at the life of Paul, we look at his writings. I mean, goodness, half of our New Testament he wrote. We look at Christian living. And more often than not, we're going to quote verses that Paul wrote. Not negating James and John and others, but by the sheer volume of what he's written, when we think of Christian living, and verses may come to mind, they will probably be something that Paul wrote. And he certainly was a man definitely used of God. But he's noting here, I've not apprehended. I've not arrived. There's still more. And he notes his mindset, as it were. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." We are and should forget the past. Forget our past sins. Commentator notes, forgetting here is stronger in the Greek, completely forgetting. So the Christian's onward progress is hindered should he dwell on the past full of failures and sins, full of heartaches and discouragements, full of disappointments and thwarted hopes and plans. As long as a Christian has made things right with God and man, he should completely forget the past. Say, but I can't forget the past. It is the past. It is in our minds, yes. But we need not dwell there. Because that's not where we're going. I mean, it doesn't, and I'm agreeing with Wiest in this regard, but also realize, I mean, we do look at the past. But I trust we look at it in a way that helps us for the future. Because our eyes, as we noted last year, looking unto Jesus, our eyes are forward. And so, as Paul notes, forgetting those things which are behind, they're done. And I would say both the bad and the good, for that matter. Forget the past blessings. They met the need of the moment. You know, many people do tend to live in the past. And at times we see it as a rather sad thing. Because they're stuck back there. And their life, they're not there anymore. We're here. You know, we can look back, and I realize many of us that are older, we do that, as I just did. I mean, I think if we had a raise of hands, most of us would remember 1974. Yes, I know some of you, Jonathan, don't. You weren't around. You were not even a gleam in your mother's eye. She wasn't here yet. She wasn't a gleam in her mother's eye. But many of the rest of us were. We were here. We were old enough to remember. Some of you were adults in 1974. As I said, I was in the eighth grade in 1974. Ninth grade, depending on what part of the year. Or eighth grade. Seventh grade, depending on what part of the year. But we remember that. I don't dwell there. I'm not in eastern North Carolina down Bryce's Creek down a dirt road off of Bryce's Creek in that trailer by that creek side. The trailer's gone. There was a house put there a few years after we moved away from there. The last landlady or landlords that we had was a young couple who within a couple years built a house, got rid of the trailers, because that's what they wanted to do with the property, was to build a house, which they did. A few years later, in 1977, when we moved back to New Bern, we go out there to find the house. And yes, there's a house there. The trailers are gone. And so things have changed. It's different. Can't go back there. And so we do need to, in that sense, forget the past, both the blessing-wise and the heartaches. God's done. Trust that he's used it for his honor and glory in our lives. But Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind, we are to reach forward. It says, in reaching forth unto those things which are before. We reach forward. We can't grasp the past. It's been done. But we must be looking toward that which is ahead. He describes the runner whose eye outstrips and draws onward the hand. And the hand, the foot. Yes, Paul is giving us a picture, as he often does, of the runner. The runner's focus is on the starting line? No. The runner's focus is never on the starting line, apart from making sure that he's not beyond it. Otherwise, he's disqualified. The runner's eye is on the finish line. And Paul is noting that. My eye is on the finish line, Philippians. We are to reach forward. Lean forward. And he'll bring that more to fruition, if you will, more emphasis in verse 14. We are to press toward. But he notes it first by saying, reaching forth unto those things which are before. Believers, yes, we have a new year before us. What does it hold for us? All that God desires for us. Is he our focus? Are our eyes on him? Again, still pulling up last year's theme, yes. Looking unto him. He's our focus. He should always be our focus. And we can boast, we can glory in him because of what he has accomplished for us. But in our lives, we are to be looking forward. God has more for us. We're still here. God's not done with us. Regardless of our age, whether you're the oldest here or the youngest, God has something for you to do. He has a purpose and plan for your life. And he desires to see it lived out to bring him glory, to give us joy and rejoicing, to give us his grace, his love, his mercy, to work in and through us. But we are to have that mindset of pressing forward. Yes, God's blessed 2025, 2024, 2000. And that was sufficient for then. But 2026 is now. I'm ready for what God has for me this year. How can God use me this year? Oh, yes, he used me in that way then. He may continue that vein. But Lord, what do you have for me to reach out for? What do you have for me to do for you that I can reach out to? We must seek him to find out. and he'll show us. He continues with that. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We are to seek eagerly that prize, which is ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our prize. He's waiting for us in heaven. There's a goal. There's a finish line. Again, Wiest notes, press is to literally pursue. Mark refers to a target for shooting. Here, a moral and spiritual target. Toward is from the preposition meaning down and has the idea of bearing down upon in the direction of the goal. The mark is Christ-likeness. And truly, what a goal for us. Are we there yet? No, I'm not. Paul notes, I'm not. And yet when we look at the life of Paul, surely he is a Christ-like figure. Paul says, I haven't attained. I've not reached it yet. I'm still striving. I'm still reaching out. I'm still seeking that prize. Well, he may be closer to it than the rest of us, but he says, I'm still not there yet. But may we be reaching out towards it. If you don't reach for the finish line, are you going to get there? If our hearts and minds are focused on the past, on something else, we're not going to get to the finish line. If our minds are distracted, it's going to be harder to get there. Need to have that singleness of mind, that working towards reaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is ultimately a joint effort, folks. We don't do it by ourselves. We do it collectively as a church because we need each other. If you will, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writing to them notes, and he says, starting at verse 11, says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why do we have these men? Why do we have their writings? For the perfecting of the saints. To equip us. To equip us. That's what the word perfecting there is referring to in the Greek. Why to equip us? For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. To be built up. We are the body of Christ. And he's building us up. To what? Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man that is complete, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's a long, complicated verse, if you will, sentence. But noting that we have a work to do to reach to the fullness of the stature of Christ. And that's why we're here. That's why we gather as believers. So that collectively, and I don't like to use that word in light of what's been going on politically of late, but as a body of believers together, we are able to encourage one another in that Christ-like walk. To build each other up in the most holy faith, as Jude would say. We do that together. Say, well, can I grow on my own? To some extent, but we need one another. That's why God's formed the church, so that we can edify one another. We can build each other up. We can care for one another. We can love one another. Many other one another statements that he puts there, because we need each other. There is strength in numbers. And there is strength in the Lord Jesus Christ as we come together, as we move forward, yes, as a unit, as a church in Christ-likeness. And we do so as we follow God, as we, like Paul, press, push, strive. God, I want you. I want to know more of you. I want to be more like you. I want to see my life changed for my good and your glory. It's never to note who we are, but who our God is. He's the one that does the work. So may we, like Paul, strive, push towards that, have that mindset. Yes, Lord, what do you have for me this year? How will you grow me this year? How will I be more Christ-like this year? God, may you be willing to do that. May I be willing for God to use me as he deems best and fit, to change me as he deems best and fit. May we press as Paul pressed, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for thy word. Father, I pray that as we consider these phrases of Paul's, that these two would be our mindset. Father, none of us have arrived. We've not reached, so to speak, the pinnacle of Christ-likeness. We are all still works in progress. And Father, we are here one for another. This work is not a separate work. It is a joint effort. We help, we assist one another. For together, yes, we do accomplish more than if we were by ourselves. So, Father, I pray that we would, like Paul, press forward. You still have work for us to do. There's still a greater Christ-likeness to be accomplished in our lives than what there was last year and the year before. Father, may it not just be a resolution, but Father, truly, as Paul notes, may it be our mindset of pressing, striving, desiring you, driving us to, yes, read your word, to pray, to be in your house when your word is preached and proclaimed, so that, yes, we can be here for one another, we can be here for ourselves, and we can see you at work, Father, in ways that we probably would have never imagined. But you are at work. And I pray that we would be yielding instruments in your hands. Father, do that work in our hearts as only you can, to mold and shape us, to put that desire to move forward for you. Father, we need you, for without you we can do nothing, but with you all things can be accomplished. May we most readily recognize that and accept it and embrace it, long for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.